Ho, ho, ho. It is the official award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern downtown across the street from Bridgestone Arena, the best burger downtown, and of course, your home for the award-winning pregame show for this week in the season finale against Jacksonville, joined by former Titans receivers Derek Mason.
What's going on?
And Chris Sanders.
What'd it be like? Well, how you doing, bro? You doing
I
right?
hear things are going well in your world.
Going
so
pretty good,
I
man.
You
good.
A very Merry Christmas
appreciate you, Doc.
To be had. But there is a lump of coal in the stocking of the Tennessee Titans, who this week, yeah. after losing to the junior varsity Houston Texans last week,
Stop
will
it.
Not be playing for anything of note as the season has come to a close. Ryan Tannehill will be in today at quarterback. Will Levis will be inactive with the ankle injury. Guys, it has been a truly miserable season. And not only has it been truly a miserable season.
You're in a Christmas spirit.
I am convinced that it didn't have to be a truly miserable season for the Titans. So we will do some talk today about looking forward and everything else, and we'll actually talk about the game some. But the state of the Titans, where we sit, I got to tell you, I am depressed that it's gotten this bad, guys.
Wow. Yeah, it has gotten bad. And, you know, it started off, I guess, started off bad.
Yeah.
In the middle, it's been bad. And now it ends bad. This team, I don't think this team ever truly was a team that can compete for playoffs. I think we looked at the division that they were in, and we said, well, Houston has a new coach, ushering in a new quarterback. They may barely win 3 or 4 games. Indianapolis, sort of same thing. If they go with Richardson, they may win, you know, 3 or 4 games, right. 5 games.
And we're talking about the teams who are picking 2nd and 4th in the draft.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we were looking at the division and saying, the Titans, they should win this game. They should win this division. With 8 or 9 wins, you can win the division with 9 wins, considering who was in it. We thought the biggest foe would be Jacksonville.
And you still might be able to win this division with 9 wins.
Yeah, you still can win it with 9 wins.
When all is said and done.
But I don't think this team was truly – they were 1 or 2 injuries away from completely being out of it.
Yeah.
And that is what happened, along with miscalculations on guys that they brought in. It just didn't work out. Then your starting quarterback goes down. You got to play the rookie. Even though the rookie has looked good at times, you didn't envision yourself going through the whole season, you know, with the rookie quarterback. You envisioned it, Ryan Tannehill. You go get D-Hop. Trailing comes on. At least you can compete for the division. Well, they've had a few injuries, and the guys just didn't work out. They brought in half of them didn't work out. They brought in as free agents, and this is where we sit.
You know, just kind of looking at there's two things that really stands out, and we keep talking about it, you know, each and every day is the offensive line. I didn't know we knew the offensive line was going to be, you know, not
a
good,
work in progress.
A work in progress, but we didn't know it was going to be like that. I mean, if you look at how many sacks they've given up already, they've given up 50 sacks, D-Mace and Jared. That's a lot of sacks.
You want to know something crazy?
What's that?
That's one more than they gave up all
yes.
last
that
year.
That is crazy.
And how bad was last year's offensive line?
So you look at that, but we've been talking about they need a left tackle, they need to get this on offensive line, but then they go and get Dillard, to get Brunskill, they get those guys that don't produce. And then this is the one thing that's really alarming to me is – the running game. I mean, you look at Henry. I'm not saying it's Henry's fault, but he has only 884 yards. I mean, if you look at last week, he had 16 carries for 9 yards. The week before that, he had 11 carries for 34. So when you have a running game that's your bread and butter, and that looks terrible, then you got an offensive line, and then you got your top wide receiver that is in and out of the lineup. It's just a recipe for disaster. That's exactly what we're seeing now.
So I agree with you 100%, Chris. Derek, I agree-ish with you because I do think the Titans could have competed for the playoffs this year. The problem is they absolutely swung and missed on the offensive line, top to bottom. Whether it was just one guy in Andre Dillard, whether it was 3 guys, 4 guys on the offensive line they missed on this offseason, whether it was the offensive line coach that they missed on this offseason, I think the offensive line is the root of almost not all of their problems, but is the root of a lot of their problems, including the injury to the quarterback and now the injury to this quarterback that they've had this year. I think the offensive line, I think the receivers are better than the receivers' stats say they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the line doesn't block, so they can't get open. I think that Derrick Henry is a better running back than his stats will say been this year. I think Tajay Spears is probably a better running back than his stats will say this year. But it doesn't matter because the line can't block for him. And I just think I go back to this season and I'm like, you know, this was an easy schedule this year. Like, they played a bad division. They played the NFC South this year. They should have beaten New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They could have beaten Tampa Bay. They should have beaten the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, they should have beat the Colts both times. They should have beaten the JV Texans last week. And I know that, again, when you sit here and go through and say should in the NFL, that's not good enough. I'm just saying that I am incredibly upset with the fact that this was a potentially positive season that the Titans could have had. And because of their own arrogance, I think that they have had a bad season. And instead of blaming their own arrogance, what I think they're doing is now they're saying, well, we tried to go for it, and that, I guess, was a little bit of a mistake. But no, that's not it. You just tried poorly. You went out and got Andre Dillard. That's your fault. You didn't have to give Andre Dillard $10 million. Kansas City gave Donovan Smith $3 million. He's playing left tackle for them. And so I really am angry at the Titans because I do feel like this season could have been a competitive season.
Well, competitive and, you know, playing for a playoff spot, I think, you know, in this situation is two different things. I think when you know you're a playoff team, you see it. I think you see it. And the reason that I said that this team, you know, realistically, they were not the team that many thought they were. My whole problem, it wasn't even the offensive line for me, because that offensive line was bad last year. And I felt they would get a little bit better. They didn't get better. I understand that. But it wasn't even that for me. It was when I looked on the defensive side of the ball, I saw these guys go. I saw a secondary that was bad last year, and they didn't do much to add to it. So that was always my – I said that will be the defense Achilles heel is their secondary, because they didn't go out and address it the way they needed to. If you're not going to address the offensive line the way you need to, then you need to make sure you have a Cleveland Brown type of defense that makes sure that, hey, if we score 10 points, we can still win. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. They allowed David Long Jr. to walk out of here. They miscalculated his importance to this team. They let other guys walk or chose not to sign him back. So this defense, I knew, could only hold up for so long. And it all played out the way I thought it would play. This defense held up as long as they could. They were out on the field too much.
Yeah.
And when you're out on the field too much and you don't have enough backup, or you don't have enough role players that can come in and give you some minutes, it's going to bite you in the rear end. And it bit the Titans in the rear end. And we ain't even talk about the offensive line. The offensive line was just a whole other separate entity. It was like two different teams. The offense had their team, and the defense had their team. Mm-hmm. And both of them were dealing with the same type problems, in a sense. Because you were dealing with the secondary, and we were dealing with the offensive line. And both of us, and both of them has hampered us from being the team that we want to be.
Absolutely. But you know what's crazy, too, there's really alarming, is when the media was addressing them before they got Hopkins, they thought they already had the receivers in there.
They lucked
up and got Hopkins. They thought NWI Moore and, you know, Burks and Phillips, they thought those were their guys. But they lucked up and got DeAndre Hopkins. Just imagine this team. I want y'all to really think about this. Just imagine if D-Hop wasn't on this team. How would that really look? I mean, just imagine the deep balls that they made, the play action, the plays that D-Hop made. Those wouldn't have been there.
Can I tell you the argument that would be, well, they knew the whole time they were going to get DeAndre Hopkins.
No, they did not.
I agree with you, but that's what fell in his lap, man. I agree. The two positives from this offseason were Hopkins and Levis.
Yep.
Like, those are the two things that they lucked out on, both of them.
Yes.
Yep.
Because if they wanted Will Levis, they could have drafted Will Levis with the 11th overall pick. And they didn't.
Yeah.
And I was making this point with somebody yesterday when they were like, well, we got a guard in the first round and a quarterback in the second round. If we had gotten Levis in the first round and we had gotten the guard in the second round, you'd be ecstatic. And I said, that's not exactly true, because, first of all, I'd have a third-round pick for next year that I didn't trade in order to get Levis this year. Plus, I'd have the extra year of contractual control with Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that that they went out and got a guard. I think a guard who's not even playing well right now. No. The fact that they got a guard with the 11th pick. I mean, that's but, what, and that's where I was going to ask you guys next is how much faith do you have in this operation going forward? Because I have zero faith.
Well, let me ask you this question: if you're the general manager in that situation, and you know your offensive line is back, what do you do? Do you get a receiver in that position? What do you do? You know what I'm saying? You have to address the line at some point, because if you go and get a wide receiver at that position and your offensive line is awful, then what do you do?
So I think, again, like each decision like made individually can be explained. You know, we sat there when they were on that clock with the 11th overall pick. Remember, they went into that day willing to give up the world to get C.J. Stroud.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
So the idea, they're like, oh, no, they had to take an offensive lineman. They wouldn't have been taking any offensive lineman because they would have traded everything for Stroud, and then they would have had to go back out into free agency and sign some of these guys once the draft's over
or
whatever.
He would be on IR right now.
For me, I mean, I think that if you really want, if you walked into that draft and you said, we have to fix the offensive line. First of all, I never was a big believer in Nicholas Petit-Ferrer as much as they wanted to. And this is the problem the Titans ran into with him and Chig and Burks and some of these other guys is it was like, well, we think they can do it. Mm. And it's like, well, have they done it in the NFL? Like it's consistent starters? And no. But we think they can do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in that. And so what I would have done if the sole goal was fixing the offensive line in the draft, which it never is, but if it was, then that's where if you really needed to fix the – you trade back. Mm-hmm. Like you trade back on the guard. You trade – because you can get the guard in the third round. You can get the guard in the second round. You don't need the guard with the 11th pick. But the bigger question I was going to ask going forward was, do you guys have faith in the operation?
I do. I have faith. Because my thing is this. This is – if the operation had been together for years and they're still making these, you know, sort of mistakes or misevaluations with individuals, then yes, I would be in front. I would be along with you. Like, hey, listen, y'all have had the job too long. Y'all still making the same mistakes. Y'all still misevaluating players. There needs to be a change. But because they've only been together now, it hadn't even been a year. It hadn't been a full year, then I am not going to, I'm not sold on them. I want to see what they do this upcoming draft, this upcoming free agency. That for me, because now y'all have had y'all would have had a full year together.
Well, what we're talking about is they've had a year of player acquisition. Exactly.
Yeah.
So next year they would have
right.
2 years.
Yeah,
of 2 years.
That's it, but that's what I'm saying. Like when Rand came in, he was in. I got to evaluate now.
Absolutely.
Like I can't. And it was. I think it was a situation where the next following year would be the year, sort of like recruiting, like in college when a guy comes in. To me, I think you need to give him a full recruiting cycle to prove whether he can, you know, do the job or not. You just can't fire him unless it's just egregious after 1 or 2 years. Allow him to get his players in there, run his system. Get his philosophy, you know, his culture, and then see what happened, he or she. It's the same with the NFL. Allow these guys to, if indeed this is the marriage that y'all put together, let's see if the marriage worked. Let's not go through it, you know, a year and say, it don't work. Let's see if it works because now we know each other. We know exactly what we want. We know exactly who we want, and we've evaluated them together.
So you don't think this past year was egregious?
It was bad, but I'm not looking at it from the standpoint of I don't trust them anymore. Okay, you got a mulligan. That's my thing. You got a mulligan.
You got a lot of mulligans.
This was a mulligan.
Right.
No,
night was a disaster.
I'm saying that off season was a mulligan. Now
sure.
We could break it down into individuals,
right.
But the off season was a mulligan for y'all. Now this season, y'all got to get it right. One, you got more money. Suspend it as much as you think you can to make this team better. Evaluate the draft. You know exactly what you need going into the draft this year. You need a left tackle. So you need to be in a position to draft the best left tackle. I think what happened last year, the tackles
they
wanted.
Right now can't play left tackle?
No, he can't.
No.
They say he can. I don't know if he can.
What happened last year was,
so what do I know?
Was the tackles that they wanted were off the board. Hmm.
The Paris Johnson?
Yeah. So they said, we'll take the best available offensive lineman, not necessarily tackle.
Here's why I think happened. This is why. And I could be totally wrong about this. And, of course, we'll never know because they don't tell anybody because everything's got to be a freaking secret with them. But I think they went into that day thinking they were going to trade for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that
too. They spent the whole day working the phone with Arizona. I don't know why they blabbed it to Diana Russini like they did, but they did. And once Houston, because they were the minus money favorite, or C.J. Stroud was the minus money favorite to go with the third overall pick until about an hour before the draft. I remember doing that show that day until 6 o'clock, and the draft starts at 7. And I was doing that show till 6 o'clock, and the whole day the odds were overwhelmingly in favor of Stroud going with the third pick. Mm-hmm. And that was all the talk. Then when we were on the air at 6 o'clock, as that progressed, all of a sudden the money started coming. And I mean like a freaking floodgate of money in on Stroud at 2. Mm-hmm. And that was when we were like, okay, somebody knows something here because the money shifted significantly.
Right.
And so I think they got caught off guard. Then when the draft started coming down or whatever, it was like, I would guess you wanted the outside backer. I wanted the corner or whatever. And we're sitting there and it's like, well, we can't really decide and we need to decide. And, well, how do we decide in a collaboration instead of like the, hey, this is who I want? We go to the board. Who's the board? Tell us we got to take.
The most available guy.
Oh, the board tells us we got to take the guard. Take the guard. And, I think that's stupid. And I think the idea of this collaboration where one guy doesn't have more power than the other, I also think that's stupid. And that's what they're doing. I hear people say all the time, Vrabel's in charge. I'm like, no, he is not.
Yes,
they are.
Is.
Neither guy has more power than the other guy.
Vrabel's in charge, man. He's in charge.
You think Vrabel tells Rand Carthon what to do?
It's not that he tells him, but I think he has a lot of pull over there.
Well, he's the coach. Of course, he's got
a lot
of pull.
But what I'm saying is, can
he tell Rand Carthon, no, we're not doing that. We're doing what I want.
If a decision needs to be made, I think Mike Vrabel has the final say.
You think or you know?
I know. No answer is a
you
no
know.
Answer.
Dude, he's trying to get me in trouble, man.
You know that
Mike Vrabel, on the outside looking in. Let's take it that way.
So that sounds like I think.
Let's go with I think then.
What do you think? What do you know?
What I know is just about what everybody else know. What I can, you know, assume or guess is that.
So this is what you think.
Is that, you know, I think Rand deferred to Vrabel this year. I think he did. I truly think he deferred to Vrabel this year because him coming in, and he even said it when he came in, he said, listen, I'm coming in. I don't want to mess with anything. I'm still evaluating players myself. And then I talked to Vrabel. But I think this year, because how it all happened, I think he deferred to Vrabel this season.
That's what I'm talking
I
about.
I think this upcoming offseason, it may be a little bit different. I don't know how much, but I do believe last year he deferred to Vrabel.
Perfect example.
Deferred to him.
The Byer situation.
Yeah,
how is that deferred to
Vrabel? I think Vrabel wanted – I think
– But I'll tell you what I've heard on this. I've heard Vrabel was shocked when that trade went down. That's what I heard.
But Rand Carthon said he really didn't know Byer. So who knows Byer?
Well, Rand Carthon says a lot of things.
I'm just saying. I guarantee you that Mike Vrabel has a lot of pull over there.
Well, he didn't know. He doesn't know Byer the way Vrabel
knows
Byer.
That's what I'm saying.
You know. So
I'll tell you. I heard that Vrabel was shocked when Byer got traded.
This is what I truly believe happened. Rand Carthon is sort of the. I used to say this all the time when I was playing. Marcy was the bad person. She was a bad person. Like, it told everybody, like, he can't do this or he can do this. Mm-hmm. So it didn't get to me. It got to her first. She was like the buffer. And she was like, okay, yes, he can do this. No, he doesn't have time for this. He cannot do this. So that's like, not necessarily the bad guy, but you are the bad guy in a sense. So you sort of make the decisions or you defer a lot of times for the person. I defer to Marcy. I think Rand Carthon deferred to Vrabel in the Byer situation. I think Vrabel wanted to do that. I think Vrabel wanted to get a pay cut on Byer.
I heard that Vrabel was shocked about the Byard trade.
You, you can't be shocked. You know he can't. Come on. Ain't no way in hell. Exactly. He in the building. There's no way he can be shocked.
Hey, he see Byard Packers like, I know you're leaving.
You, man. If he didn't know Byard was shocked.
Come on, man. No.
He would. I can't see a Vrabel.
No, not a chance.
And it not show, like, oh, my goodness, no. you traded, like, I can't see that happening.
No, he's in there,
that's
man.
That's a marriage that's ending now. If you trade away one of my best players, I don't know.
To your point about Vrabel not being able to, you know, not show it, did it not feel that way but when he got up there that week before Byard was traded in Foxborough and said, it's not like this everywhere, Patriots
fans?
Hold on.
If they're in the meeting room, right, they're discussing who they want to keep and they don't keep. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to make Vrabel to be the bad guy, but if I'm telling you, Mike Vrabel has a lot of pull in that building.
Well, no, duh, he's the coach.
I know, but you're saying who's in control. Mike Vrabel is in control of that whole situation.
Are you saying that with the same...
of decision-making players.
Like, you're saying that Mike Vrabel has a lot of pull. Does Mike Vrabel have more pull than Rand Carthon? That's the question.
I say for right now he does.
Do you know that, or are you thinking that? Because everybody's telling me what they think.
Okay.
And... I don't care what everybody thinks.
I think next year will be a little different. I agree with Derek, made a great point that I think it's going to be different, a little different next year.
I think the collaboration is incompetent, and I think the two guys incompetent.
I don't think they're incompetent.
Not at all.
The four downs are coming up next. We'll take a look at the big four storylines heading into today's game. Live from Teddy's Tavern downtown, the best burger on Broadway. That's right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Down to Move the Chains, we take a look at the big four downs, the big four storylines of today's game. We start with first down.
That's the game right there.
First down.
Will something crazy happen this offseason with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, Chris Sanders?
You want to go with that? I mean, I don't know. I just think that if they lose these three games.
What were you saying during the break?
Hey, man, I was talking about the French toast. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
French toast good. No, I don't know.
No, I don't know. I mean, I just think that.
Now we turn the mics on.
I'm going to stand up like a man and say what I said, but I just think that something wild is going to happen on offseason. I really do. It just has that feel. You know, I'm not saying that Rand Carthon's gone. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be gone, but I think Mike Vrabel might say, okay, I've had enough. I need to go get a fresh start. I'm not saying if it's the Patriots, whatever. I'm just throwing that out there that a bomb is going to be dropped, just like the situation that happened with Byard. He gets traded in the middle of the season. And then also a couple of years ago when you have J-Rob, you know, nobody expected that. Nobody expected J-Rob to get fired after he got an extension the February before. So I just think that something crazy is going to happen. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? But I'm telling you, something crazy is going to happen.
Do you agree or disagree?
I mean – I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say yay or nay, but because of the way this whole relationship was formed, was formed backwards. How it's usually formed in the NFL. It's usually the powers that be hires the GM. The GM tells him what he's looking for. He goes out there and hires the coach, who then hires everybody else. Well, because Ms. Amy chose to fire John Robinson, the process was all backwards. It's you have a coach that has been established there for the last four or five years, and then you bring in a new GM, and you ask the new GM to work with the existing coach.
Right.
Maybe they truly don't. Like, they both have the same end goal of winning and putting together the best roster, but does it look the same for both in the process?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It may not look the same for both in the process. So, to me, eventually, I think if they don't start winning starting next year, then there might be a change, and it might be one in the middle of the season, and I don't think it'll be the GM.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Will Levis reportedly out today. Ryan Tannehill in. What do you guys think so far of how Will Levis has played up into this point? Are you all in on the franchise quarterback? Are you optimistic? Are you cautious? How do we feel, Derek Mason?
Optimistically cautious. That's what I am. Yep. I'm optimistic about what I've seen from the young rookie, But I'm also cautious, too, because I know how quickly this league can change.
Absolutely.
Once they figure you out, and if you don't reinvent yourself, if you don't get better, then the league will catch up with you and they will pass you and make you look stupid. So, to me, I'm cautiously moving forward. I'm optimistic about what I've seen from the young guy, but there's still a lot of things he needs to get better at. And I think some of his problems is because of the guys in front of him. I don't want him to start building bad habits. It might be a good thing that he gets to sit one game, maybe two, and just process it all. Because when you're in the fire, you can't see truly everything that's happening because you're so in tune with what's going on. You like complete passes, make sure the offense run. I don't have time to be looking. Oh, you're doing it. No. Now I can sit back and I can watch what's going on. Like, damn, yeah, they are that bad. You know? And for me, the rookie has shown some good things, and he shows some things that he needs to improve on. So I'm cautiously moving forward. But I do believe he stepped out the right way, and he's gotten better. I don't think he's regressed any, but the process is slowed down from that first game he started against Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to give you this perfect illustration. You ever went swimming, right? If you go swimming and you're on the side, you wanna see if the water's hot or it's cold, you put your big toe in, right?
Right? I put my foot in.
You put your foot in because you don't know if it's hot or cold, right?
Jerry said he just dives in. He don't give a damn.
But what I'm saying is the reason why you do that is because you're not sure if it's hot or cold. That's the same thing with Will Levis. On some games, he's really, really hot. He's making plays. He looks like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then on the next series, he throws an interception into double coverage. That's the reason why I'm not really sold on him 100%, because there's on some series that he looks like a world beater. Then he throws into double coverage. If you look deep, then Burks is going to be open. Those are the things that I'm basically talking about. So the reason why I'm saying that is I'm really not hot on him. I'm really not cold on him. I'm just basically in between because I want to see what he can do with a great offensive line.
Here's what I think. First of all, I don't think he'll ever have a great offensive line in front of him because I don't think these guys know what they're looking for, and I don't think these coaches on the offensive line have a clue, and Vrabel has no idea how to hire an offensive line coach. But
you see this guy.
I think Will Levis has shown me that he has the talent to be a legitimate franchise style quarterback in the NFL. Like franchise caliber quarterback in the NFL, he has the talent. He makes too many mistakes. Even with, you know, the line problems and everything else, he makes too many mistakes. The question for me is, as he progresses into next year, will the game slow down for him and allow him, as he's rolling out like he was last week, to just wait that extra second and not panic and not, you know, get too crazy and just take a second and see Treylon Burks running wide open to deliver that football and to take his time? Because even though the game moves fast, it doesn't – when you're that talented, as you two would know, it doesn't move so fast that you can't process – as you're out there. That's what makes you guys NFL players. So take the second and see, okay, the corner is staying with DeAndre. Now let me make sure that I set my feet, step into the throw, go through my mechanics, put the ball right where it needs to be. Some guys never make those jumps. I think a lot of fans want to assume, well, that's a rookie mistake, and next year he won't make rookie mistakes anymore. And I'm like, I hope. But there's a lot of guys that have good rookie seasons that then don't ever grow out of the rookie mistakes that they make. And that's where I am with Levis of the – I know he's got the talent. I know he's got the toughness. I know he's smart enough. I know he's got the arm power. But will he be able to overcome the mistakes he's making now and grow and get better?
Well, he's going to have to. A veteran quarterback on that play in particular, a veteran quarterback rolls out, and he takes that extra second just to see.
Right.
Because he know no matter anything else – I can throw that out route, that deep inside, you know, out route. I can throw that. It's going to be there. If that corner sloughs, I know it's going to be there. But let me wait a second and see if that corner is going to be patient enough to play his cues. If he's not, I'm going to throw it over his head. That's what veteran quarterbacks do. That's what quarterbacks do that understands the game. Now what he has to do is believe what Tim Kelly is telling him.
Right.
Believe it. But you just got – the minute you have doubt, you start to do things you're not supposed to be doing.
Sure.
If Tim Kelly told him, you roll out, take a peek, at that go route. Take a peek at it. It may be open. Be patient with it. If he listens to it and then don't go out there and implement it, then there's nothing he can do. That's nothing the offensive coordinator can do.
Sure.
You just hope that eventually he starts to believe exactly what I'm telling him and what he's seeing.
But some guys can't take that out to the field.
No, you're right.
Sometimes
it doesn't slow down for them
in live time.
You know, I was listening to you on your radio. I think it was maybe about 2 weeks ago, and you said a word that fits him, you know, perfectly. You said he's a perfectionist. And the reason why I said that, it looks like when he performs well when everything is perfect. Let's go to the Falcons game. When they were playing the Falcons, they were in the perfect coverage. They were in cover one. He throws a hop. Same thing with the Chargers. He throws a deep ball to Burks. It was a perfect coverage.
That was Tannehill.
Was it Tannehill? Well, just act like it was him.
How about the Dolphins game?
The Dolphins.
Dolphins game.
Dolphins
game. But everything has to be perfect. A perfect pocket, a clean pocket. I want to see how he thrives when everything is not perfect. When the offensive line, the offensive line is playing bad, but when everything is not going well, how is he going to respond? Because if you look at earlier in the game last week when they had 11-play drive, 83 yards, and a touchdown by himself, he had a whole bunch of confidence. But then all of a sudden when things start to unravel, then he started to unravel.
But
I
think we can agree that things can't unravel the way they're unraveled.
I mean,
this
I know, but that's – yeah, I understand, but I want to –
He'll fail if they don't improve in front of him.
Right. I mean, you have to. I mean, I agree with you 100%, but I want to see how he can keep thriving in this situation. Then when it gets better, he's going to be thriving even better.
All right, let's take 10 seconds for a station ID, and then we get to third down.
WPRT Pegram, WBUZ HD2 Laverne. We are 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
A Cromwell Media Station.
Third down.
Titans fans are mad at me.
I'm mad at you too.
Because I just had the audacity to watch Sunday's game to see Peter Skoronski getting absolutely run over, clubbed to
Bull
the
rush.
Side, moved around, and to think, oh boy, did they whiff on this one? The tackle that they drafted to play guard that they won't let play tackle that's not even good at guard. And Titan fans are mad. They don't want to hear it. They want to tell me that Peter Skoronski will be a starter for the next 10 years. Derek, how worried are we about Peter Skoronski?
I get it, and I see what you're saying, and it's hard for me
to not see it because when they push the guy and he hits the quarterback, it's like, how'd that happen?
But this is what I do truly believe. I think Peter's a good player. Now, I think, you know, if they coach him up, then I think he can go from being a good player to a great player. But I think there's some things he needs to work on. One, he needs another full year in the weight room, an NFL weight room. An offseason, so I think that'll make them better. But I truly believe if they add the right left tackle and the right center, I think you will see a Pro Bowl guard. I truly believe because now all three of those guys are working together. I think a lot of their problems this year, one, the left tackle just isn't good enough, but then they don't communicate.
Right.
Prime example,
that's a good point.
Last week, how does a guy bust through a double team? He busts through a double team, and both of y'all go off and try to get the linebacker.
And not only that,
somebody was supposed to stay on the tackle.
And it wasn't like the guy that busted the double team was Ndamukong Suh.
Exactly. So my thing is that shows me that the communication isn't there between those two guys because from my experience, they combo block and they sift up to the linebacker, but we don't let the tackle go.
Yeah.
Somebody stays on the tackle.
Right, you have to make the block and then you go.
Exactly.
It's not miss the block and then
and
go.
Then go. So to me, if you get him a center that can play and a tackle that can play, it's going to elevate his play. I do believe that. So I'm not all out on Peter. I think he has some talent, but I think that talent needs better talent around them.
Would you draft him with the 11th overall pick if you had to do it again?
If I had to do it again, no, I wouldn't. I mean, not because I don't think he's a good player, because if you want to tackle, draft a tackle. Just draft a tackle. Don't draft a guy that you can put at tackle, but you want to play guard. No, just draft a tackle. If you want to draft a guard and you tell everybody, just draft a guard. I don't care. But if I had to go back knowing what I need, I'm drafting that tackle.
You know, just kind of, you know, looking at the knock that he had when he came out of Northwestern, they talked about his length. He didn't have good length. And when you're a guard, you got to have good length. And the one thing he struggled with is the technique. I mean, the technique is, And I'm not being disrespectful to another man's craft, but it's not good. I mean, if you look at his feet, when you look at the guys that he was going against, I mean, he's getting bull rushed. Basically, when you're getting bull rushed, that means you have bad technique. You're always on your heels. It's just hard for me to talk bad about people. I can't do it. But the thing about it is, right now, he's not a good player right now. He's just really not. And I say that in a respectful way. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a chance to get better because they drafted him because they saw some potential that he has. But when you talk about potential, all that is hidden ability. I don't want to see hidden ability. I want a guy to come in here and play right away and help this offensive line.
And I'll say this. With the 11th overall pick, I don't want potential. At guard, I don't want potentially good.
Right.
Like, a guard, it's one thing to say, hey, we took a pass rusher with the 11th overall pick, and he's got the potential to be good, and we're going to have to coach him up a little bit, and we're going
right.
to quarterback, same way. Receiver, same way. If I draft a running back with the 11th overall pick, that dude better be Barry Sanders the day he should. That better be
point.
Chris Johnson taking a handoff on the first preseason game and running right up the middle for a 65-yard touchdown. That's what that needs to be, and that's not what Peter is. And that takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Nick Folk missed another extra point last week on a game that went into overtime. Games he's missed extra points that have gone to overtime that you've lost. 7-7 is very different than 5-9. Should we be mad at the kicker?
I mean, you're mad. You're disappointed in everybody. It's like, you know, when one
but
thing.
But specifically the kicker for
one
missing
thing
an
happened
extra point.
Bad. Yeah, because he should do his job.
He's got a different holder.
You got a different holder. But. You got a job to do. And then the holder does matter. I don't know if the holder had any – like if he had the laces in.
The special teams coach who Vrabel only promoted because he had no choice because the guy that he loves can't coach. The special teams coach at his press conference on Thursday – yeah, he said that it was a good snap and a good hold, and he just rushed the kick. Mm-hmm. And so I think Vrabel's probably going to have to fire the special teams coach because he told the truth. And you know that they don't let them tell the truth on who screwed up over there.
But no, you
should. How dare you tell everybody who screwed up? Because we don't do that
God.
Here at the Titans. We lie as much as we possibly
no,
can.
No, y'all can't
we
do it.
Vegas
but I can. That's what Vrabel said. Y'all yeah. other coaches can't do it, but I can.
I mean,
can
I
do
got
it.
Hodling the offensive line coach telling BK, he's like, yeah, I think we've seen a great improvement from all the guys on the offensive line.
Goodness.
Like,
did he say that with a straight face?
But what is, like, he, what you, is he supposed to say, though?
Did you watch a game Sunday?
Yeah, you're right. What is he, what is he supposed to say?
Be like, Skowronski's terrible. What is he supposed to say?
Yeah, he can't be Deion Sanders and say, we're getting five new offensive linemen and still got five games to play.
He should be like this. He should say, Paul, I just want you to know this. I'm not qualified for my job. And I don't think I should be back next year. And I hope I'm not back next year. Because it'll make Jared's year much better. Just like the special teams coach shouldn't have been back for this year, as Jared pointed out to the coach last year, and it didn't. Those are our four downs right there.
Oh, my God.
Blame the kicker. He did. He misses. He needs the job. He has a job to do. He should make those kicks.
Let's take a look at the offense. Oh, we'll do that coming up next here. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the playbook, we take a look at the Titans offense. Tannehill's in at quarterback. Guys, there's three games left. Is there anything in what has been a wretchedly horrendous season for the offense that can be shown, saved, evaluated for next season in these final three games? Chris.
Yes, I think the running game. I mean, I know everybody's talking about Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry last week had, 16 attempts for 9 yards. I think a lot of guys are going to get evaluated. I think Spears is going to be one of the guys, and I think they're going to evaluate some of the receiver positions because if you look at next year, they're going to have to get some more explosive receivers. We know D-Hop's going to be should supposedly be here next year, but they got to make sure they get some more playmakers on this team. And then also, you know, I want to evaluate Chig. Chig is doing well now, but if you look at the beginning of the season, he was so inconsistent. So I think that if those guys go out and play well, I think you can be excited for next year.
I've already made my evaluation on frying pans, hands, Chigatopoulos.
What'd he say?
Frying pans.
I can't say.
Stone hands. As far as this, you know, evaluating this team for next year, and, you know, I do agree with Chris that they're going to have to find some more playmakers on offense. Obviously, we know the offensive line they need to, you know, give me two guys, and I think we'll be much better than we were this year and even last year. Give me a left tackle and a center, and we'll be much better. But they do not need to find a burner, because if you look at this past draft, Tank Dell, he balled out before he got hurt in Houston. I think that was – they needed him because he stretches the field for the Houston Texans. You look at Zay Flowers, I think he has – tremendously upgraded the Baltimore Ravens offense, because he's one of those guys that he can go deep, but he can take a short 5-yard hitch and take it to the house. His quickness and his ability to get downfield helps that offense. You can look at other receivers.
Puka,
he's same
dude,
way.
Man.
Even though he's not a speedster, the offense is designed to get them down the field. The Titans need one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I know firsthand that was a guy that Rand Carthon loved, Zay Flowers. Whether they had an opportunity to draft him or not, I don't know. But that was one guy that he loved as far as receivers, and I'm sure he would have loved to have him, because he opens the passing game for the Tennessee Titans if you have a speedster.
How you know that?
Don't worry about how I know it. I just know it.
We did.
So
I just know it.
Yeah. Here's what I think right now. I want to see Spears run the football, and I do love Derrick Henry, and you know that, and I would bring Derrick Henry back. I want to see Spears over the last three games get the lion's share of the carries, because I feel like I need to see whether or not Tajay Spears can be a lead running back on a team that is going to need to run the ball. I know Spears is a great third down back out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. You know, you can pass, he can catch it, he can run with it, he can run the ball some, but can he run the ball hard like this offense and this style of play is going to demand? Or does he have to always have somebody, a thumper, to go with him? I don't know.
The Titans got to change their philosophy as far as running the football.
They're not going to do that.
They got to do what every other team in the National Football League is doing, because another Derrick Henry is not around the corner. He's just – Derrick Henry, to me, is a generational back. That's what his style of running, don't nobody run like that anymore. He was probably the last of his breed in regards to how he runs the football. But I go back to – because you've been saying they need to keep Derrick Henry. And you stand by that. And you're right. I was looking at it from, hey, listen, if you can keep him, keep him. But it has to be on your terms. But then I started to really evaluate it, like looking at Dallas. Dallas would have been a much better team had they kept Ezekiel Elliott. Not as the main back necessarily, but as that bruising back. Pollard can't do it.
Yeah.
So I see that the same situation happening here. If they allow Derrick Henry to run to leave, then you better get you another big bruising back. Because if you don't, you're going to run into the same problem that the Dallas Cowboys are running in. It's not that Pollard can't run. Pollard can't take the pounding that Ezekiel could. So when Ezekiel comes in and he's running through guys and tiring guys out, then Pollard comes in with the speed and the quickness, and he can't run between the tackles. Yeah. Now it's a different ball game. If you get rid of Derrick Henry and don't replace him with a sort of Derrick Henry type back, then you're leaving it all on Tajay Spears to be both Derrick Henry and himself.
What's that running back that we lost that went to Carolina, then went to Chicago?
Foreman.
Get a guy like that.
Yes.
I mean, that is a perfect guy that you have, because when Derrick Henry went out, he was one of those guys that was a bright spot to when Derrick was out, to have those explosive plays and also those punishing runs. So
he's a thumper.
He's a big-time thumper.
Let's say Derrick Henry doesn't come back. Mm-hmm. They've got to have a thumper to go with Spears anyway.
Absolutely.
But I still, in that scenario, would want Spears to be the main running back of this football team. And in order to do that, in these three games, I want to see him run the ball. Not the thumper. I don't want Spears to carry it 30 times.
Yes.
But I want to see, like, on first down and 10 or on second down and 5, if I can line up in my traditional offense and hand the ball to Tajay Spears and have Tajay Spears run the ball effectively, which I think he can do, but I need to see it in these last three games.
Well, it's going to be hard to with this offensive line, it's true to get an. It's hard to get a true evaluation of who these guys can potentially be. We can give him, you know, some extra points. Okay, if you pick up a, you know, 5-yard gain, well, we're going to give you extra points because that offensive line is so bad. You shouldn't have picked up 5 yards. You should have got tackled in the backfield. Though we can give you more points for that. But as far as, like, truly evaluating everybody from an offensive standpoint, you're hampered because of the offensive line. I can't get a true evaluation of everybody else because we can't even get off the ground because the offensive line is so bad.
All right, Chris Sanders, yes, we know that you have some very big Christmas plans to get to. So please give us your game day prediction, Titans and Seahawks today. Who wins and what's the score?
Okay, I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 21-17.
He never picks it.
No, because every time I go away from that,
the Dolphins, now he's afraid to ever pick against them.
Every time I go away from that, I mean, something crazy happens. I think that the Titans are going to play hard. I think that Mike Vrabel is going to get those guys ready. And Drew Locke's going to play. They're going to harass him all day long. So I think the Tennessee Titans 21-17.
Okay. Chris,
I love you, brother. Love you guys. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
Love you, D-Mace. Love you, Jared. Love you, Chase.
Too.
Appreciate you, brother.
Have a very Merry Christmas. Chris Sanders with us, as always.
Love you, Kojak.
you just wanted that one there. All right, D-Mace.
Yes.
Let's get to the other side. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball here. So the defense stinks this year. Jeffrey Simmons is out. All these guys are hurt now. Apparently, Jack Gibbons is on IR, and Simmons is on IR, and it's basically DeNico Autry and the seven bums that are out there with him.
I don't even know the other guys that are out there.
Half of them. To me, there are two good players. Right? Well, Landry, three. Three good players on the defense right now. Mm-hmm. Autry.
Yes.
Landry.
Yes.
McCreary.
Yes. You don't count. Aziz.
He's a tackling machine, man.
He's a tackling machine.
You know what else he does as well as he tackles? He misses tackles as well as he tackles.
In order to tackle, you got to miss a few, man.
I mean, Aziz is a backup.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they had David Long Jr. next to Aziz, I think I could live with it. But if you got Aziz as the main guy, no, I don't want that. He's a backup. That's what he is, a backup. Like, so I'm not interested in that. Does the defense matter at all the rest of the year? Is there anything about this that'll tell us anything about next year or give us hope or anybody trying out for a spot or anything?
I think DeNico Autry is. And I think DeNico Autry is, you know, slowly making himself more and more money as the season goes. He's been, other than Jeffrey Simmons and Tia Tartua, to a point, and then it just went sideways, and now he's in Houston. But I think the two guys that have been consistent majority of the year, Simmons and Autry, those are the two guys that have been consistent. Autry is on the last year of his deal. I think it should be one of their top priorities to bring DeNico Autry back to the fold, because now you got a Harold Landry who's getting healthy. He looks a lot better, even though he fell into a few sacks, but that's how it happens in this game. You know, some sacks you're going to go out and get, and some sacks, because you're working hard, you're busting your tail, you just fall into a few, and that's what Harold Landry is doing. But you have Landry, you got Simmons, you signed DeNico Autry back. You got to get you some linebackers, you know, so they have a few good pieces on defense. I think Amani Hooker will be better if they add him a safety that can truly play right now. You know, when you've been with one guy for so long and y'all know each other just as well as, you know, anybody else, y'all play and feed off of one another very well. He doesn't have that guy right now. When they traded Byard, you saw his play started to diminish. They need someone else back there that knows the game the way Byard knew the game. Doesn't need to be Byard, but he needs to be a guy that both – he can feed off Hooker, and Hooker can feed off him.
Apparently.
What happened?
Apparently DK Metcalf wore a skirt to the game.
Diggs did it yesterday. I'm like, listen, to each his own, but, man, I'm not going to even comment on that. I'm going to let it go.
Keith Bullock tweeted out 3 hours ago. Keith Bullock said, bro wore a skirt to his football game. He said, yo, I'm out, bro. I'm officially old to each their own.
Yeah, I'm old, man. Getting older is a good thing.
And I'm sure, like, our parents saw things that were like, these kids today are crazy. You know, they wear –
but we didn't go that far. No,
sweatshirts,
we didn't go that far.
Know? How dare they put a hood on a sweatshirt? And now it's like, how dare they wear a skirt to the football game?
Hey, listen, to each his own, man. I can't get what these kids are doing now. You know, I got my son's 21, so.
See, wearing.
But he hell no, hell no, hell no. I mean, listen. No, he doesn't. I'm not going to even get into
it. I thought it was bad when LeBron James wore a suit with shorts. I thought that was bad.
But that was the style. You wore your suit, your shorts. I never. I mean, maybe they did it at one point because, you know, fashion is just.
You ever wear a suit with shorts?
Man, hell no.
Okay.
My pops and my moms would looked at me like I was crazy.
So I thought that was bad, but wearing a skirt to the game, that is, again, it's a fashion statement. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not my fashion. Give me a pair of jeans. That's me.
But, what were we talking about?
I don't know. We were talking about the offensive line. No, defense. We were on the defense.
Defense stinks.
Yes.
I mean, so to your point about Autry, here's what I think happened with Autry. Uh-huh. I don't think there will be as much of a market for Autry in free agency as there should be, simply because I think teams will look at his age, and they'll say, well, we want to get younger, and so we want to – this is what I would do if I were the Titans. I would go to Danico Autry, and I would say, hey, we'll offer you this amount of money, but go into free agency. Because you're not – unless you overpay him, he's not going to sign before going to free agency. Go into free agency, see what's out there, bring it back to us. If someone's going to offer Autry a four-year deal at $12 million per, congratulations, Danico. You were a great Titan for 3 years. If somebody's going to offer Danico $5.5 million, we'll give you $6 million.
I give him in between because to me.
But you see what I'm saying?
No, I see what you're saying. But to me, he has been, beside Jeffrey Simmons, I think he's been the most consistent defensive player outside of Simmons and possibly Roger McQuarrie. He's been the most consistent player out there. He does his job without much fanfare. And you know, he's a guy that you need. I do believe you need to have on your defense. Like you said, listen, good GMs, when you're dealing with an older player, you say, hey, here's the deal we have on the table for you. But if you want to go try free agency, go and try free agency. If they're offering you more, if you feel better about their deal than ours, then take it. But if you don't, our deal is still on the table. We'll give you $8 million per year. Give you maybe $5 or $6 million to sign for the next 2 years, and you can retire a Tennessee Titan. If a deal is not better than that out in the market, then come on back. Because to me, you keep him more in your defense because he understands what you're trying to do from a defense.
It would be harder to find somebody else to do his job than it would be just
prime
to bring
example,
him back to do his job.
You let Long Jr. go, and look what happened.
Yeah, you don't just let good players go consistently and get better. Now, it's going to happen sometimes. Uh-huh. But, again, you don't just, we'll just go get somebody's backup and plug them in this spot and see what happens.
Don't work the same.
And that is not the way to do that. All right, who's in, who's out for the Titans? We'll take a look at the injury report. And then, what do we make of where the Titans are headed and what they're doing right now about it? Explain. We'll get to that next. We are live from Teddy's Tavern downtown. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live at Teddy's Tavern again, the spot for the pregame here, the award-winning pregame show. And next year, they're not going to allow people to park on the other side of the river. So you're going to have a pregame spot, and I'm thinking this might be the place, at least where we sit today. Time to take a look at the injury report. Who's in, who's out for the Titans? A bunch of people are out. These are just the ones that are inactive. Quarterback Will Levis, wide receiver Kyle Pitts, tight end Trevon Wesco, offensive lineman Daniel Brunskill, which means that Calvin Throckmorton will start at right guard, defensive lineman T.K. McClendon, corner Sean Murphy Bunting, and defensive back Kayvon Wallace are all inactive today for the Titans. Meanwhile, for the Seahawks, Geno Smith is going to give it a go. He is going to be the starting quarterback today. We do not have the full Seahawk inactives. I'm not even sure if we care about that. But, again, Will Levis out today. Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. The backup's going to be Malik Willis. Derek, do you agree with Mike Vrabel's decision to make Ryan Tannehill the starting quarterback with no playoffs on the line, knowing that Tannehill's contract is expiring at the end of the year? Oh, my bad. Oh, wrong one again.
Wrong one. There we go. There we go. You got it, Jared?
I got it.
One-man band over there. I understand why he did it. He wants to win ball games. And, again, we look at this time of year, especially with teams that are out of playoffs, as evaluation time. Let's evaluate these young guys or potential free agents that haven't played as much. Let's evaluate them. But the problem you have in this situation is you can't truly evaluate them if you throw Malik Willis in there. You can't truly evaluate them because the offensive line is bad. So as a head coach, I got to do what's best for my team. And what's best for my team right now as we evaluate is to put the quarterback underneath center that is capable of running our offense. Now I can truly evaluate more Chigakonkwo. Now I can truly evaluate Tajay Spears and these other guys. So I understand why he did it. But I think eventually you're going to have to put Malik Willis out there to give a true – to see if he's progressed any. Mm-hmm. Because he hadn't played, what, a couple of series – you know, a couple of downs, not even series, a couple of downs this season. So – if you want to evaluate
him.
He
played a couple series.
Yeah, he did play. You're right.
Just a couple downs because when he goes out there, it's three and out.
Exactly.
And
so, but you need to get a true assessment of Malik Willis because to me, I go back to there's three categories for this Tennessee Titans moving forward. There are the exclamation points guys that I know are going to be on this team, and we know who those few guys are. Then there are the question marks. So, okay, what if we see enough these last three games, then yes, you have more of an opportunity to be on the team. And then it's the X. Like, no matter what you do, you're not on this team. And we kind of know what those X, who those X's are. Dillard.
Duncan.
No, Brewer. Not Duncan. No, I wouldn't even say Duncan because he's young. That, what's saving him is that he's young.
No, he'll be on the team next
year. Yeah.
He's
not going to be starting. I'm saying guys that you know won't even be on the team. Let's start with Dillard. He will not be on the team. So
what
now.
About Tannehill?
Tannehill, he's another X. He will not be on this team next year. So we got a few of our exclamation points. We got a few of our X's. Now we need to find out those question marks. And one of those question marks is Malik Willis, I believe. Not as a starter, hell no. But can he be a suitable backup for us moving forward? Because we have a young quarterback. So I think eventually they're going to have to let him play one of these last three games. Definitely not going to be this game. If they lose this game, there's no reason why Ryan Tannehill should play the next game.
Okay, so I have a couple theories here. First off, I am happy with the decision for them to play Ryan Tannehill because I do not want to watch Malik Willis play football. That's just, again, incredibly.
Especially not at home.
I mean, just incredibly selfish. I just don't want to watch him play, and I don't want to waste my Sunday watching Malik play, and so let's see Tannehill play. I think Mike Vrabel is going to play Ryan Tannehill because there is no chance of them winning any of these games without Tannehill or Levis at quarterback because Malik's that bad. And there's a legitimate chance next week if C.J. Stroud returns and Malik Willis plays quarterback that the Titans could lose 100-0 at Houston. And that will get you fired with this owner.
Yeah.
And I would be very careful of that. So I definitely think that he would be out on that. I think it's important. I think the evaluation stuff for me, I'm not really evaluating that much anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I will not go into next season, and I know how you get with Treylon Burks, so mm-hmm. if we want to get to that, we can in a second. But I am not going to go into next year with the assumption that Treylon Burks is going to be starting at wide receiver for mm-hmm. the Titans. Now, if he wins a job in camp or if he does what you and Chris did that year mm-hmm. where people get hurt and then you make the most of your opportunities and now we don't even care about the other guys, great. But I'm not going to go into the year banking on DeAndre and Burks. So I've already made that decision. I am not going into the year banking on Chigakonkwo as the tight end next year. I will have a starting tight end, and Chig will be the second guy. And if Chig outplays him, then Chig can be the first. But we're not gonna. That's not going to happen. But I need them to get reps. Mm-hmm. Like, I need them to – you only play 17 of these a year.
Yeah.
And the next live rep that they could get after the end of the season will be, what, August 10th in the first preseason game? And that's if they play the first preseason game? So I need Spears to get reps. I need Skoronski to get reps. I need Burks to get reps and Chigs to get reps. Like, I need the guys that are going to be on this team next year, regardless of if they're starting or not, to get the reps. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to get first downs. And the way to get first downs is with Tannehill at quarterback.
Yeah, listen, you know, when he made the decision to make Ryan Tannehill quarterback, I think everybody knew it. But when he finally, you know, it comes out, Will is not playing. Well, hell, everybody knew Will wasn't going to play. I mean, I don't know why you're trying to hold that in your pocket. It ain't no strategic advantage whatsoever, especially not in this situation. But I do believe you need to see – moving forward, something. You know, whether you want to go into the offseason, you know, you got to have somebody penciled in when you go into the offseason as a starter. So whether it's Treylon Burks or Chick Okonkwo, I think with those two guys, because you got D-Hop.
You go into free agency and you sign somebody, and then that is who is penciled in as your starter.
No, they're not going to do that. Burks is going to be – he's going to be penciled in as a starter along with D-Hop. They're going to go out and get them another young receiver. They may even go get them another veteran receiver because I'm not sure if Nick Westbrook-Akin is going to be on the team next year. And not necessarily because I don't think he can't – I don't think he can play. Can't play. I think he can. But I think they're going to want somebody else in that position that can also play special teams.
Sure.
You know, I need my third receiver, my fourth receiver to be able to play special teams. And we know Nick doesn't play special teams. As good as he has been at times for the Titans in the offense, he just doesn't play special teams. So I'm going out and getting another receiver. Chig is my starter, but I'm bringing in another veteran guy that's going to push him. And if the veteran guy beats him out, it's your job. It's your job. You take it. And Chig, we gave you an opportunity, gave you 2 years. If you couldn't beat out the veteran, so be it, you know. So, but I go out and got get another veteran. I thought they should have, as much as I, you know, it just went at the tight end from last year.
Hooper.
As much as I went at him the first half of the season, the second half of the season, my tone changed. And, you know, it's fluid, as we say. But I wanted to see what I saw from him in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Had we seen that in the first half of the season, I think it would have been much better for the offense as a whole. But second half of the season, he started to pick up. And once he started to pick up, I come from the school and listen, if you show me you can do the job, I don't care how much I've ragged on you before. If you show me you can do the job, okay, fine.
Sure.
I'm going to praise you now. And so they need to go get a Hooper type of tight end.
And he only signed for $2.25 million.
Exactly. They could have signed him back. Yeah.
For that with Chig being the starter. And then if Chig fails, then put Hooper back in there. And so, but I mean, like Dalton Schultz, for instance, who played last week for the Texans, that's a starting tight end.
Yes.
Chig's not that.
Chig is just too inconsistent for me. As much as I love the potential that he has when he does catch the ball, now he's gotten better the last couple of weeks. I get that. But he needs to show that he can be consistent.
I have a hot take.
Ooh.
So
bring it on.
I think we can all agree that Peter Skoronski should be starting on the offensive line next year, and then there probably should be four new guys. But we also know the NFL is not a perfect world, and so the hope that it's four new guys maybe, but it might not be four new guys. Mm-hmm. I think Dylan Radins is going to be the Tennessee Titans starting right tackle in 2024. Not that they will go into the season. Mm-hmm. Like, they will not go to training camp with Radins as their right tackle. They will not go, like, they will either draft somebody or sign somebody, or they will do that. But then, whether it's because of injuries or whether it's because Radins outplays the other guy because the other guy's so bad because they can't evaluate offensive line and they can't coach him, Radins is going to be starting at right tackle next year for this team. And I, again, it's not that I think Radins is doing a good job. It's just that I think they're incompetent, and they're going to be forced into a position where they screw it up so bad that Radins is starting at right tackle next year.
Wow, unless Radins improve tremendously.
And he has been improving. Man. I mean, there is a marked improvement. He just still is not very good.
He's still not a starter in this league. Again, I don't need four offensive linemen. I don't need four new offensive linemen.
I'll give you an example of how this could happen. They could go into free agency, sign a center, sign another guard, draft a tackle, and then say to themselves, because they do this, well, you know, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer was supposed to be our right tackle. Then he got suspended. Then he got hurt. We got a whole offseason. Nick's in it for his third year. Let's put Nick at right tackle. And then Dylan beats him out. That's how that happens.
I think he will be back next year as the right tackle to start Nicholas. I think he will come back next year.
And I think that's a horrible idea.
I'm not saying whether it's bad or not.
But that's my point. They're going to have a horrible idea. They're going to talk everybody into it. And they're going to say, no, Nicholas got suspended. He got hurt. It'll be okay. And then he'll suck. And then Dylan Radins will end up playing right tackle for the Titans.
Well, whether it's Dylan Radins or Nicholas Petit-Ferrer.
It shouldn't be either, but it will be.
But, if you just give me a left tackle and a center, we will be all right. We will be much better. And I'm talking about a center like Ben Jones. Give me a Ben Jones type of center that controls all communication across the board. Your offensive line will be much better because right now it doesn't seem like they're communicating. It doesn't seem – well, hell, we saw it firsthand. You know, last week.
Well, they're not said it.
Exactly. And they said it, absolutely.
Like,
they said,
yeah, we didn't communicate.
Exactly. So,
like, well, whose job's that?
That's your only – you have two jobs, block and communicate, or communicate and block. And you didn't do one of the two jobs? Well, you didn't do both of them because you didn't communicate on who was supposed to take the tackle.
Yeah, like, and I'll say this. As a fan who knows these guys can't block, blocking is a skill. Some people can do it and they can't.
Yeah.
Communicating is not.
No, it's just – I mean, in order – if you – if it, in order to do your job efficiently, you got to communicate with the people you work with. And right now, they're not communicating with one another, and you can't play on an island. I heard Ray Lewis say, man, I don't understand what's going on with these linebackers nowadays because they're not communicating. And he's right. They don't communicate. It's like, I want to keep all the information to myself. Y'all figure it out. Y'all supposed to know what to do. It's not about, yeah, you know what to do, but if I'm communicating across the board, everybody feels much better. There's no hesitation, especially a young guy. He's thinking in his mind, okay, I got to hit the AAF. I got to hit the – but he's a little bit unsure. Then that veteran guy comes in. He start pointing things out. Bam, bam, bam. Hey, you got the gap. You got – don't remember. Well, now I feel better about
in all
myself.
Fairness, Ray Lewis was a great co-conspirator, you know, so – there.
Come on. it's Chris. It's damn near Christmas, man.
Oh, man. I could not do that.
But communication is the key when it comes to that.
Do you think they'll change the line coach?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
If they bring the line coach back, I may go take a pick of Vince down at St. Thomas Sports
Park. Vrabel has already shown you that he gives guys at least 2 years to get
sign.
Yeah, to get their job done. He did it with the last offensive line coach, he gave more than 2 years. He did it with the offensive coordinator, he gave him 2 years. He did it with the special teams coach, he gave him 20 years. And eventually, he's going to make a change. But he comes from the school of thought. Some guy gave me an opportunity, you know, so I'm going to give that opportunity to someone else. Which, you know, which isn't, you know, wrong in a sense. But man, oh man, I mean – you got to have somebody that could do their job adequately, you know.
And TD can do his job adequately. He will join us next from the stadium as we'll get an update on the Titans ahead of the Seahawks live from Teddy's Tavern downtown. It's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Teddy's Tavern here, the award-winning pregame show. So I do want to pick this up. So you think Vrabel's going to keep the offensive line coach after this year?
Yes.
Do you think Vrabel's going to keep the offensive coordinator after this
year?
Do you think Vrabel's going to keep the defensive coordinator after this year?
Yes.
Do you think what coach is Vrabel going to change?
I don't know. Maybe none.
You think that that's going to be acceptable to the owner and to the fan base to say at the end of the year, all these coaches are coming back off of this season's team?
Vrabel will find some way to finesse it. To where it's not the blame shouldn't all be put on the coaches. It's the players.
He can't bring everybody back.
Okay, let's just say he may not bring – guys may take jobs other places.
Sure.
So, I mean, the coaching staff may look a little bit different, but I don't think say, for instance, Hodling. I think he's going to give him another opportunity to get this line together. I think he's going to go out and try to get the best players that they can get at those respective positions, tackle, center, and then they're going to allow him to do his job based upon there. Because, I mean, just listen to Vrabel now when he talks about, you know, Hodling or the offensive line. It's never the coaches. It's never the coach. You know, he never puts the blame on the coach. Now, he said everybody, but he doesn't single – individuals out. So to me, the offensive line coach is going to stay. He's going to give him another year. He may add another, you know, offensive line assistant, offensive
consultant.
Line coach. Exactly. He may do that, but he's not going to fire him. I don't think. What?
I was just telling you to hurry up because we're going to
TD. Oh, TD's on?
Yeah, TD joins us now on the program. TD, I have the serious question. How many guys are walking around on the field right now wearing Titans uniforms that you're like, number 76, who is that? How many times today have you done that?
I mean, there haven't been any times because, you know, you keep track of it. That's my job. So if there's somebody I didn't know, I wouldn't be doing my job. So it's just there's a lot of turnover. I'll say that. There's definitely a lot of turnover. And, I mean, that's what happens when you have a roster in this type of condition where you have so many guys, you know, on IR and hurt and all that stuff.
Well, I will say this. When I saw yesterday that the Titans added John Ajuku to the active roster and Tay Gowan is being elevated, I'm like, who the hell is Tay Gowan?
Tay Gowan is a DB. They signed him like a month or so ago. And you know Ajuku, you know I've been talking about him since training camp.
OJ. I mean, the only reason I know is because Vrabel was talking about all the great options they had at right tackle, and he brought up OJ. TD, what is kind of the expectation when you talk to these guys about what they're playing for these last three games, why these games matter to them? What is what you hear from them?
Yeah, well, I actually wrote a story about that. I mean, some of the guys are happy to play spoiler. Others, you know, there's a good amount, like 20 free agents. You know what I mean? So these guys are playing for contracts. You got Ryan Tannehill. He's putting tape on for the rest of the league, right? And Derrick Henry, he's playing for, you know, whether it's the comeback here or whatever it may be. Danico Autry playing for a contract. So there's plenty for them to still play for. You know, and these guys have said pride is another thing. And, I mean, that's you have to look at that. That's what's on the line. I mean, every time you get 17 times to do this, right? So, you know, every time you're able to do it, you're going out there for something. Trust that.
Now, what is the mood there, TD? Because, you know, I think back to the London game, and, you know, it came out, you know, things were lethargic at the beginning, and some guys said they even felt that the mood wasn't right. You know, it just felt a little down, people tired, and we saw it in the first half. The second half, they sort of picked it up in the second half. But you heard, you know, Simmons, you know, speech about, guys, we need to get going. So what is the mood now that you can tell?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll be honest with you, the mood, like the vibe is low, to be honest with you. It's like there's not really much energy from that I'm getting from them. So, I mean, it's still early, so we'll see how it starts to play out pregame, but, I mean, it's different than it's normally been as far as, like, you know, the walk-ins and warm-ups and all that. You know, guys are normally just a little more lively. So, I don't know. We'll see how this game starts. That's going to be one thing to keep note of, you know, how they come out from the rip.
Now, do you think because obviously things change now moving forward, you got Ryan Tannehill back underneath center, you know, the running game has struggled this season, more recently, last game and the game before that. Do you believe Tim Kelly comes out with a pass-first mentality to try to open things up? Because it seems like, you know, if the Titans are going to do something, it's going to have to be via the pass, whereas before it was let's run the ball to set up the pass. It may be the other way now.
Well, I mean, I'm curious because with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, you know, they didn't pass the ball 38 or more times at all. But Will Levis, he took over at quarterback, and they did it three times. So I'm curious, like, how they're going to go about doing that. I think it's going to be more of a balanced attack. They're going to try to get Derrick Henry involved early. That's how I think they're going to approach it, you know, especially after the way that he struggled last week. So what better way to you know, get off on the road than to get him going and have him right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, has Treylon Burks come out? And I know he has been sick this week, but have you seen him on the field, and how has he looked?
No, I didn't see him come out on the field. I saw him walking in, you know, and he actually is one of the guys that did have some energy, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. But, I mean, we'll see. They're about to come out in a little bit and – you know, we'll see how he is, but I think they're going to have to get him involved early, just like they did last week, but they're going to need to stick with it, though. You know, they went that play action, and he hit for, you know, a deep catch, but then they got away from it. So I think Burks is going to be fine, though. You know, he practiced this week, and everything was good there. So I wouldn't be surprised if you know, he has some type of contribution. But, you know, consistency is so much of a problem with, you know, him since he's been here.
TD, you know, I know that you've reported, as many others have, that the plan for the Titans is to bring Mike Vrabel back for next year. But I do wonder this. When you talk about the energy being low today, we saw a couple weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, the Chargers just get absolutely hammered. And it was almost like it was so bad that the Chargers didn't have a choice the next day but to move on from Brandon Staley. If the Titans are playing a game against the Seahawks, who very much have a lot to play for here, and they end up getting hammered or it continues for these last three games, could that be a problem for this organization and going forward?
Well, I mean, you never say never. So, yeah, definitely that could be an issue if they come out and get boat raced, you know what I mean, get the brake speed off of them. But I don't know that that happens, to be honest with you, because the way this team plays, like, they're going to be in most games. Now, obviously, there have been times when stuff got out of hand, but, you know, if it does, I don't think Vrabel gets fired, though. I don't think that's the case, so they move on. I just can't see that that happening.
TD, have you seen Geno Smith at all today? The only reason I ask is he's coming off of the injury. Drew Lock won the game on Monday Night Football at Philadelphia, but Pete Carroll very quick to say Geno Smith is our quarterback, and I do wonder how healthy Geno looks.
Yeah, I did see Geno Smith and Drew Lock together out there warming up, so I did get to catch up. Well, not catch up, but watch them. Speaking of catching up, I'm looking at Darren Bates, so I'm trying to get over there to catch him. But, yeah, I saw those guys come back in after warming up. And, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that Geno Smith is going to be the starter.
Yeah. TD is presented, as always, by the Beast Unleashed. Zero caffeine, zero sugar, all the adult beverage fun. TD, enjoy the game and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you guys. And hey, Chris Sanders, congrats, brother.
Yeah, Chris already left, man. But
he already left.
I'm sure he's listening
to
you.
That and
exactly.
He told me not to say nothing on the radio, so I, you know.
Yeah. He honored his wishes.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly. TD, enjoy the game.
All right, enjoy it.
Yep, TD again, presented by the Beast Unleashed. Zero caffeine, zero sugar, and all the adult beverage fun. Do you think if the Titans – so I saw Buck tweeted out and said that it's full preseason mode right now at Nissan Stadium.
Ooh.
You heard TD talk about the energy. If they get hammered in these last three games, do you think it could put Vrabel in some trouble?
It should, because, again, I think D-Hop said it best. I saw one of his interviews today, and he said, listen, if a coach has to motivate you, you know, come out here and play a game that, you know, that you should enjoy playing, then you don't – basically, you don't need to be on this team. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, yes, but it is also the coach's job to motivate the players.
No, it's not. I come from the school of thought, and it's not – listen.
Then what are they paying the coach to do?
I'm paying you to be the CEO. Just manage the team. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and if they aren't playing hard, you're not managing them very well.
Just manage the team.
A CEO is supposed to manage the employees. That includes motivation.
He manages the team, makes sure things don't get sideways. But if I – again – I want 53 guys that are motivated just for the sheer fact that only 1% of us get to walk out on this field that ever played this game. Only 1% of us get to do this job every Sunday. That's the motivation.
Did you play with Albert Haynesworth?
Yeah, I played with Albert.
Albert was a great player, was he not?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Was Albert motivated every time he stepped out on that field?
I don't know. I can't say.
Is it the
coach? When I was there, no. When I was, when I was there,
Albert Haynesworth.
When I was there, yes.
Because we had Jim Washburn as his coach.
Because it wasn't just Jim Washburn. You had Kevin Carter. You had guys that showed him the way. Like, this is how you become it. This is how you
Albert,
how you're,
this
how you
is
become
how
a pro.
You go down on the field and have everybody come out for you after they hit a shot play so you don't have to run down the field and line up and play the next play. So you go down on the field, the trainers will come out, you go to the sideline, they'll spray some water in your mouth to go
well,
back
that,
in the
that's,
game.
That's where the coach comes in as far as strategizing. Go down so we can get you some rest and get out the game. But again,
get you some popcorn.
There's nobody that can convince me as a player. I don't need your – you be the coach. Do it. But I don't need you to come. If you never give me a pep talk, I'm still going to go out there and give it 100%. That's just where I come from. I was raised that way. Nobody should have to motivate you to do a job that they're paying you 7-8 figures to do. They're paying you a lot of money to do it. You get 6 months off. Not really off, but you ain't got to play. Everything is ideal for you. So why shouldn't you be motivated? Your motivation should be, I want to continue to play the game that I love. I loved it when they wasn't paying me. I love it when they're paying me. Either way, that's just me. I didn't need Coach Fisher or any of these coaches to motivate. My motivation was.
That's why former players sometimes are bad coaches.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they can't do the things that you did.
It's like, why you can't get up in the morning, be on time, come into meeting rooms, learn what we're teaching you, and then go out and implement it on the field. You got all the talent in the world. Why can't you just do that? I don't understand that.
And like I kind of see that like in the radio business, right? Uh-huh. People ask me like for advice, or they'll say, and I'm just like, there are certain things that I just do naturally, or that like, they just that like I can't tell you how to do it. Like I just do it.
Exactly.
But again, that's the coach's job, is to be able to get through to the players.
I'm just telling you from my experience, from me, whether Coach Fisher came out and gave a rah-rah speech or a speech that, honestly, frankly, you know, some coaches give speeches, and you looking at that coach with a third eye like, man, what are you talking about?
I'll tell you right now, like, what he's telling you guys. He's telling you that, like, this time, like, close to the game time, he's in the locker room or whatever, is getting ready to put his back. He did not listen to the coach when they came in before and said, all right, guys, we're going to give him
I'm zoned in.
All right, let's get to our picks to click. We'll do that next. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Picks to Click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Chris is out, which means we can't make fun of his pick to click for today's game. I don't even know who's in today. I don't even know who's – I mean, I have a good idea of who's out today. But, Derek, offense, who is going to pick to click today?
Pick to click today, I'm going with Treylon Burks. I just think they need to build on – what they were able to do in the first half.
Dylan's about to explode over there. Just sitting over there just going crazy. Treylon Burks.
He's my pick to click on offense. I think we saw what this offense can do if he's a part of it. When he wasn't a part of it, they struggled. D-Hop is always going to get his catches. We know that. But they need Treylon Burks to consistently be more a part of the offense. The only way you can do that, if you deliberately – go out of your way to target him. I know what Vrabel said some weeks ago, we don't go out our way. No, you're lying. Yeah, you do. And you did it last week, and you need to do it again. You still can get D-Hop the ball.
Well, not only did they go out of their way after they said they wouldn't go out of their way, they went out of their way. It was successful.
Exactly.
And then they stopped.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense. So, to me, he is my pick to click on offense.
So what's funny is, as somebody that hosts a four-hour show, I know you host a three-hour show, that things get said over the course of 3 hours, and then it's like, did you hear that I said? And it's like, no, I wasn't listening at that exact time of the 20 hours that you're on a week. I have not heard, apparently, the staunch defenses you have of Treylon Burks on the radio for one reason or another. Either I wasn't in the car at that point, or I don't know. I haven't. I think I've like caught the tail end of one of them. And I say this because the text line, when I'm on the air, gets inundated with people that are like, D-Mace is just all in on Burks, and he's the biggest Burks cheerleader there ever was. And so I was not surprised when you said that you were picking to click Burks. But can you not admit that it's time for some more out of Treylon Burks?
Oh, of course.
And that he's got to start. He's got to get healthy.
Listen, I've always said this, and I truly believe this. Let me see you give him opportunities and he doesn't make good on those opportunities. When he'd start not making good on those opportunities, I would say, you know what? It's time for another receiver. It's time for y'all to go get somebody else to play that role because he's not doing it. But when you have a guy that I know he hasn't been on the field much this season, well, he's been off more than they would like, let's say that, because of injuries, and it's not like hamstring injuries, soft tissue. No, it's been legitimate injuries where he can't help it. If he goes out there and you feed him the ball, say last week you fed him the ball and he dropped two or three, I'm like, I'm done. You showed me. They gave you an opportunity. You showed me that you're not ready for it. Get somebody else in there. But that didn't happen. He proved to them I can play. So my thing is just get a kid the ball. I am going to always stand on, especially a guy that I see have talent, give him an opportunity to show us he can't do it rather than saying, putting him out there and not throwing him the ball and then expecting him to be the receiver that you're asked that you drafted him to be, but you're not giving him opportunities to be that guy. So give him opportunities to be that guy, and if you prove otherwise, then okay.
So I've been thinking about my pick to click here on offense, and I'm struggling a little bit, right? On one hand, it's like, okay, who's the guy that's going to have a good game today? On another hand, it's who's the guy that needs to have a good game today? And then the third point is, you know, who do I want to have a good game today? I'm going to pick Ryan Tannehill. And okay. I'll tell you why. Because if they have any chance to win today, Tannehill's going to have to make some plays with some pressure in his face with this horrible offensive line and this checked-out team. And so I think Tannehill could spark the team, you know, as far as getting them talking about motivated or into it or whatever it may be. You know, a big throw by Tannehill could get that started early. Secondly, I want Ryan Tannehill to have a good game because I don't know if Levis will be back next week or not, but this may be Tannehill's last game as a Titan, and I want Tannehill to do well in order to put it on tape so potentially Tannehill can get a starting job next year, though I'm not sure if there will be a starting job out there for Ryan Tannehill. But I hope there is, and so I hope he can do that. And then third of all, if they have any chance to win this game, Tannehill's going to have to play well. So I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill as my pick to click today, even though I'm nervous with that offensive line that even John Elway might struggle.
Oh, he would struggle behind his offensive line.
Defense.
Oh, man, they got so many new guys on this defense. It's like, who do you point at? To me, the pick, I went with Danico Autry last week, and he showed up big. I'm going to go with Aziz this week. He needs to show up big. I think he does. You know, he gets a lot of tackles, but he needs to be a playmaker in this defense. He needs to prove to them for the next 3 weeks that he's just not a linebacker. Like, he has some special, like, really special qualities in him that you don't need to go out and get you another linebacker to potentially upseat him as a starter. So to me, he has to give those other things that I need to see as far as, can you be an impact player in the game? Like, really, besides just tackling people, can you get an interception? Can you get strip fumbles? Can you get to the quarterback? Can you do those things? That's what I want to see from Aziz.
I'm going to go with Arden Key, and I'll tell you why. Because Arden Key is shockingly probably going to be on this team next year. Mm-hmm. And he ain't done anything.
Nah, he had. I hadn't heard his name in about 6 weeks.
And it's like, I mean, you know, Landry, it was a slow start, but he's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Autry, he's doing his thing. This year, Simmons, he did his thing. They're going to have to rebuild the secondary. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how it is. And I would like two new inside backers, but they'll probably re-sign Aziz and get another inside backer. And so, again, have to have reasonable expectations when it comes to what Santa will give us this Christmas. But Arden Key is looking at a contract next year that is essentially guaranteed. And so to cut him, they'd save $5.9 million. So it means like they could cut him, but I don't know if I can put Arden Key in that spot next season, at least where we sit today.
Okay.
And so Arden Key needs to have a big game. Geno Smith's been hampered by injuries, and I don't think he'll be as mobile. And I don't know if the secondary is going to be able to cover Lockett, Smith, and Jigba, and Metcalf without them getting to the quarterback. So I will go ahead and I will take Arden Key as my pick to click.
I mean, I haven't seen much from Arden Key this year. I mean, I think the last time I heard his name, honestly, it was a penalty. It was what game was that where he got the unnecessary roughness or the late hit on a quarterback?
It was like week 3.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. I haven't heard his name since week 3. Now, he may have made some plays. I don't know. But he hadn't made enough to whereas, you know, he stands out amongst other guys. He doesn't stand out for whatever reason. Maybe like you said, he played the perfect role when he was in Jacksonville. He played the backup role. He's not a starter in the NFL. Is he a guy that can come in and give you 20, 25 plays a game? Yeah. But he's not a starter in that role.
Okay, Let's do. We did this with the offense a couple weeks ago, and you and Chris, it drove me crazy, and I was so mad at you guys to begin with. Do this with the defense. How many guys are coming back? You bring back next year, or you would say are starters for next year, right? So Simmons.
Yes.
Okay. Autry.
Yes.
Okay. Landry.
Yes.
Key.
Starter? No.
Okay. Azeez. And you have to sign him to a new contract.
Oh, because it's only 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh. I would say yes, but it has to be under the right contract.
I mean, I think with that position, you can let it. You can let him go to free agency. And
then test the market.
If somebody else gives him a deal, you should go get another inside backer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no on Azeez. Gibbons.
No.
Okay. Molden.
No.
I don't even know why you need to think about that. Yeah. Murphy Bunting, who is a free agent?
As a starter, I would like an upgrade.
Okay. Fulton.
Definitely not.
Okay. McCreary.
Yes.
Okay. Hooker.
Yes.
Okay. So right now you see five starters for next season. Landry, Simmons, Autry, McCreary, and Hooker.
Yes.
It's a lot of holes to fill. That's a lot.
But those holes should have been filled last year because this linebacker crew isn't good. The minute they let David Long Jr. walk out the building, they regressed as a unit. They did. Regardless of what you thought of Long Jr.
And let's not
Jr.
forget they got to replace Tartt's spot too.
But I think they really love and believe in Pico. From what I heard.
Is that like how you heard that Rand really likes Zay Flowers?
You keep your ear to the ground hard enough, man.
Do you think if Rand Carthon was not in a collaborative commission with Mike Vrabel that Zay Flowers would have been the 11th overall pick to the Titans?
I don't think they would have picked him that high. Let's just say if they had a lower pick, not in the top 10, say 18, somewhere around there, there could have been a possibility, yeah.
Do you think Rand Carthon liked Zay Flowers more than Peter Skoronski?
Whew. Like and knowing what they need, I think, yes, liking Zay Flowers, yes, more. But what did they need? They needed an offensive lineman.
Pick for need. You end up,
not
only getting the worst player, the lesser player, but then you have to play against the guy that you wanted to pick.
Because you get instant offense, you get instant production that you can see if you draft Zay Flowers. With Peter Skoronski, you don't know because the offensive line is really bad, so you don't know if he's a product of the problem or just a symptom of the other guys, you know?
Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, a final game day look, and our game day predictions. Chris Sanders has already picked the Titans to win. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's already picked the Titans to win. And we'll do that coming up next, live from Teddy's downtown. It's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Teddy's Tavern downtown, it is the award-winning pregame show on this Christmas Eve. Time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory. And in this case, it's more like key to managing the holiday season with the knowledge that the Titans are not really competing for anything. It's how to evaluate the last three games of the year. Here's Mike Vrabel.
I think we're always trying to evaluate. I think that's, those are opportunities for somebody. Every snap means something to somebody. So what we're focused on Sunday, we're focused on, getting back out there, getting ready to go against a team played really well. Played really well as a team on Monday night.
Okay. You've played in some meaningless games in your career, specifically when you were a younger player with the Tennessee Oilers. And I do wonder how you would approach this game as a player, knowing that there's nothing on the line, a lot of guys are out that are injured. What was that like? And did it go into your mind two things? One, hey, these are my career stats. Like, when they look at the Hall of Fame, they don't look at, well, those touchdowns came in meaningless games that didn't have playoff implications to them. And did you think about, hey, Coach Steckel and, Coach Smith and Coach Fisher and Mr. Reese, they're evaluating me right now, even though these games don't matter.
I didn't think either way. I just thought I had a job to do. And if they're going to give me an opportunity to play, especially my younger years, you know, when we were 8-8 and I would get in there every so often, I just wanted them to know that I can play, that you can trust me with more. Just give me an opportunity. So my thought process was to go out there and prove to them they need to be playing you more. Don't start thinking about, you know, our record and, you know, this game doesn't mean anything and some fans are not here. No, none of that means nothing to me personally. What means everything to me personally is going out there and proving to them that I can play. That was my whole thought process. And when I proved to them I can play, that's what I stood on. I couldn't do no more or no less. So when you get in situations like this, especially as young players or guys that are, you know, on expiring contracts, you always want to put your best foot forward. When they turn on that tape, they see outliers. And when I mean outliers, I mean outliers in a good way. Like, oh, that guy's busting his tail. He seems like he's moving faster than everybody else. That shows a coach that, hey, listen, he wants to be here. He wants to be on this team. He wants to be more of a player for us. That's as a player, that's how I went out.
Prior to Christmas in 2004, a meaningless Titans game, you caught 9 passes for 121 and a touchdown at the old Oakland Coliseum against the Raiders. Do you remember, like, that meaningless game and the touchdown and all the catches? And
I think I ended up getting hurt that game, too, if I'm not mistaken. I think I ended up hurting my shoulder because they still had that. Did they have that, the baseball diamond out, too?
Probably not around Christmas.
Yeah, not around, so it was put in. So that wasn't that game. But for me, it was every time I stepped out there, I had something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether I was a starter or not, I still had something to prove. I don't understand guys that step on the field and think they don't have anything to prove.
Were you ever the kind of guy that this time of the year, meaningless game, my quads bother me a little bit. I don't think I'll be able to go this week.
Nope.
Because I do think the Titans have a lot of that going on right now.
Listen, anybody, you can ask everybody to a man, whether I was in Baltimore or here, I played with high ankle sprains. Like, played with a high ankle sprain. Didn't take a week off. Didn't take a playoff. Got it taped back up. Ran around for a minute on the sideline. Then I went back out there. That's how much I was dedicated to being the best player that I could possibly be. I broke my damn scapula in the 6th game of the season and played the remainder of the season, didn't miss a game, into the playoffs. That was my mentality. Like, the only reason I'm not stepping out there is I can't run. If I can run, lift my arm a little bit, I am playing. There is nothing that is going to keep me off that football field. And there was nothing. There was one injury. One injury that kept me out, I broke my ribs and I couldn't go. They were like, no, we don't want you to go. Because at the time, I was the guy. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we need to. And I missed two. Did I miss one or two? I think I ended up missing two. In other words, the only two games that I missed in my career.
Wow.
Yes.
Apparently, Ian Rappaport reported earlier today that Will Levis has been dealing with a high ankle sprain for the last 5 weeks. And so that apparently it's the same ankle that he got hurt last week.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Well, it's kind of dangerous, right?
It is, but
put him behind that line with a high ankle sprain, putting him out there playing quarterback.
But at the time, Ryan's hurt.
I know.
We don't put Malik in. But then I'm sure Will Levis was like, I can go. Because he has that type of mentality that it seems like he does, that it doesn't matter. If I can do it, I'm going to do it.
The final line at ESPN Bet has the Seahawks. It opened at Seahawks -2.5. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks are now favored by 3. So that means money coming in on the Seahawks and a low over-under at 42.5. Time now for our game day predictions. Who wins today and why? Chris Sanders, who I think got scared out of picking against the Titans after he picked against them in the Miami game, says Titans, what did he say, 17? 2017 or 17-14
or something like that.
He picked the Titans. Derek Mason, Titans 21-17. Chris Sanders said Titans. Titans, Seahawks today. Who wins today and why?
Oh, man, I think Seattle wins. I think there are too many injuries on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans. Hell, they got too many injuries on the offensive side of the ball as well. Does it have a potential of looking sort of, you know, the same as it did when Will was in there? Yes, because you have Ryan at underneath center now. But they have so many other injuries in other areas that it's not going to make a difference whether Ryan is playing, Will is playing, or Malik. They're not winning this game, I don't think. I think Seattle wins this. Too many playmakers on the offensive side of the ball for Seattle. They win 24-13.
What'd you say they were going to win?
24-13.
Just read it out loud. Read the tweet out loud.
Seahawks, 24-13.
So I would pick the if the Titans were healthy, I would pick the Seahawks. The Titans are not healthy, so I'm going to pick the Seahawks. I think Santa is leaving a lump of coal in all of our stockings for our football season this year. And if we're stuck with the coach and general manager in the exact same capacities that they're in right now next year, that'll be another lump of coal that I am anticipating that will be in our stockings tomorrow morning. Other than that, though, everybody, have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Have a wonderful holiday season. We thank everybody. We'll be back with the pregame show next week ahead of the Titans and the Texans. That'll do it for us. Live from Teddy's, it's the award-winning pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Merry Christmas.